to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So right before I bring in fabulous Starhawk returning from Minnesota, there's so much that is iconic in the news, horrific and micro-horrific and macro-horrific, so many water and boating accidents, the horror off of Sri Lanka, the worst environmental disaster they've had, you know, thousands of plastic pellets are destroying life in the ocean and the beaches, and the oil is about to leak, so there's that. And then on a slightly more comedic tarot card level, there's a user retro.ushi who identifies as trans and queer told the story on social media saying, "These people harassed my family because we were flying gay pride flags in Moses Lake, Washington by racing around us and shouting gay slurs. And then their boat literally blew up." It literally blew up. It's on film. Nobody was terribly hurt. It's a tarot card. And just one more tidbit to really drive the karma in there. The driver literally pooped his pants and everyone saw when his shorts fell off. And just the story a little bit. A boat caught fire with three people on board after they allegedly circled another boat and harassed its passengers for displaying pride flags. Their boat literally blew up, and a video of the incident posted on Monday has been viewed by more than 4.7 million times and liked more than 1.2 million times on TikTok. And it says the video sees the boat circling as a woman riding in the back gives them the finger, and the next shot sees smoke coming from the vessel as the three passengers swim towards the to be rescued, right, by the boat they'd been harassing. Their boat was charred to a crisp. The burn boat can be seen floating past, its inside completely black. And Retro underscore Ushi underscore believes that the boat blew up because they were driving around so roughly, they either damaged the carburetor or took in water and stalled, and then fumes built up, and when they tried to speed away, the fumes ignited. The people in the boat were screaming for help, and as if they didn't just flip us off. We got them out of the water immediately. We were nicer than they were. In response, someone wanted to know how the conversation went once they helped them onto the boat. "You mean the screaming and crying that victims do when they throw a rock at the wall and it bounces back?" She was hysterical. So there we have that. Anyway, that's just the light part of the demonic aspect of what's going on. So here we are. It is the confluencing of allies to protect water, become like water. We welcome Starhawk, who is filing her scouting report upon returning from the Thousand Grandmothers group in Minnesota to stop the Line 3 pipeline, which is threatening the pristine lakes where wild rice grows in the headwaters of the Mississippi. Many of you, we know Starhawk, indefatigable, such an impressive website, starhawk.org, so many projects and manifest goodness. And so we know her as author and activist and permaculture designer and teacher and a prominent voice in earth-based spirituality and ecofeminism. She's the author of or co-author of 13 books, including The Spiral Dance. Everybody has that on their bookshelf, or should. The Ecotopian novel, The Fifth Sacred Thing, and its sequel, City of Refuge. She founded Earth Activist Training, which is so inspiring. Go look on her website, starhawk.org. Welcome, Starhawk.
Hi, Karen. Oops. Great to talk to you.
Oh, there you are. How wonderful.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you a little bit. We'll try and up your volume, perhaps. On KPFA's website.
I'm wondering if you should call me back on the other phone, because I'm having trouble hearing you on this one.
We'll do that. Our skookum board op, Kirsten Thomas, will call you back and do her magic to get you on a better line. Okay, here we go. Right, an homage to Mercury retrograde, which is about, yes, frantic and things, and then slow way down in order to speed up. You know, and as Mercury makes a quirk, Mercury in Gemini, communicative, telepathic, radio, makes a quirky line to deep, deep Pluto death rebirth dynamic. So we are remembering. We are remembering the dead. We are bringing up deep things that have often been hidden into conversational accessibility in public discourse. And there, before, well, waiting for Starhawk to return, there's so much before us. So let's all take a breath, right? Because part of our strategy is slowing way down in order to speed up, like water. You know, when we slow water down, running it through a field with berms, the slower it goes, the deeper it infiltrates. And we go, right, right. So as democracy and the planet hang in the balance right now, whoa, it's a tipping point, a balance, a fulcrum, a kairos moment, where everything that we do, think, feel, say, contributes to which way we tip. Destructive psychosis? Let's not. Or renaissance of reverent ingenuity, pragmatic mysticism, humbly cooperating with nature's guiding trickster genius? Yes, let's do that one. And Terry Pratchett reminds us, he says, magic is easy. Just find the tipping point and blow. It's like Lauren Bacall in To Have and Have Not says to Bogart, just whistle. You know how to whistle, Steve. Just put your lips together and blow. So as all of us in our mind's eye go, okay, it's tippy, it's tippy. There's horrific things. There's wonderful good things. Let's blow. Or whistle and blow together. We go, ah. So there are many things to bring up. Wait, looking for messages from many. Oh, she's back. Oh, you're back. Hello, darling.
I'm back, yeah. This is my
okay.
Computer.
So you can hear me.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We might want to, maybe great Kirsten might up your volume a smidge so we can all hear you.
Okay.
So I was just delineating the many wonderful and horrible things going on, and just one more because it is like a cartoon, right? The headline, Arizona prepares to carry out executions with gas that Nazis used in Auschwitz. And it's like, oh, man.
Oh, God.
The nefarious cartoons are everywhere. So let's go to the sane grandmothers. So you're just back. When we hosted you 2 weeks ago, you were setting forth for Minnesota. Absolutely.
That's right.
File scouting reports.
Well, it was an amazing trip. You know, they are planning for a very big treaty gathering this weekend. So we were kind of the advance guard coming to just see what we could offer as a group of grandmothers. And I have to say it was wonderful traveling with a whole bunch of older women. We had a lot of problems keeping each other from constantly tripping over each other, trying to be helpful and do things and clean up. And we mostly went to the welcome camp, which is the most public of the camps. And we're able to offer some support to the younger people there who are holding down camp. There's people who are really, to me, it's quite impressive that they've been camped there through the winter and into the spring, because those Minnesota winters are no fun at all to be outside in. But they are hardy people, and we were able to, I think a lot of what we did was offer them moral support, but we also helped them plant a garden and organize their seeds and gave them a lot of advice on organizing camp infrastructure. We did a demonstration of our own in a nearby town called Aiken, Minnesota, to put some pressure on the sheriff and the people there to stop harassing and arresting protesters. And that was very beautiful. We haven't had a giant piece of blue cloth to represent the river and a lot of beautiful art and signs. It's also very peaceful. You know, those little towns are very, very quiet. So there weren't a lot of people. But we were right at the courthouse and the high school let out right at about the time that we came, so we were able to interact with some of the students and got a lot of support from people coming by and had a good conversation with the local newspaper there. And then we also did a demonstration back in St. Paul at the governor's residence. And again, we had our river and we had pictures of grandchildren and the younger generation people were fighting for, and paper cranes and all kinds of little inspiration from some of our speakers. You know, some of the people we traveled with were some of the Lakota grandmothers from Standing Rock, including Madonna Thunderhawk, who's an amazing veteran of every action from Alcatraz to Wounded Knee to today. And, you know, there were also four grandmothers who came from Grass Valley by train so that they didn't have to fly. There were a bunch of us from the Bay Area. Patricia St. Ange came with us from the Bay Area and was kind of our liaison to the other Native women. There was a whole group from the Kahila Synagogue, so we had quite a big Jewish contingent. And yeah, we also, it was the anniversary while we were there of the murder of George Floyd. It was actually the day before we went out to Minneapolis. So we did a ceremony around that at the place where we were staying. And we had a group from another one of the action camps, the Geese, that came and joined us for that. You know, there are camps spread out. The pipeline route is like a 300-mile-long route, and there are camps all the way up. I wish we had had more time and could have gone up to the Wild Rice Camp, which is further north than we were able to go with the elders are. But we felt like we did some good and got, you could say, immersed in the water issues of Minnesota and the pipelines. And we're hopeful that this weekend, I've been seeing more and more information about this, and more news is coming out about this pipeline. So we're hopeful that what people will do is write to Biden and put some pressure on him. He could stop this with an executive order. And just as he did the Keystone Pipeline. And, you know, we know that climate change is high on his agenda. This is a key issue around climate change. It's also a key issue around indigenous rights and sovereignty, because this violates treaty rights and it puts into jeopardy the integrity of indigenous land and reserves and the lakes where the wild rice grows, where many Anishinaabe and Ojibwe people have, you know, a historical, it's their way of making a living. It's the way they have done for tens of thousands of years to harvest rice. And it also is the basis of some of their current day economy, and all of that is put into jeopardy by this company, Enbridge, which has one of the worst safety records. It's responsible for the largest inland oil spill in history and really cannot be trusted to actually, I don't know if anyone can be trusted to drill under 22 rivers in run oil through it and guarantee that there will never be any problem.
No. Right. No, I bring up, I'll bring it up every moment, really, Sir Herbert Reed, saying only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. We go, right, let's just put this on our altar of desirable mystery, going, animate this. So, so much in what you say, and Biden, okay, so Biden suspends the Arctic drilling, right? And it's again, all of our teammates, like,
which is good, which is, you know, go Biden, right? We should be, you know, it's really easy for us on the left to always be angry and complaining at our politicians, and it's important, you know, we need to hold them to account. But it's also important that we praise them when they do something good and give them credit where credit is due. And it is good that he did that.
Yes, and we do encourage that direction. We go, that's good, you know, it's a suspension, it's not a banning, you know, and the notes in the article are like, because the Republicans were like, well, whenever the Democrats are in, they stop the drilling in the Arctic, but we'll be back and we'll put it back in place, you know, and it's like, oh, Sarah James and the Gwich'in have been so indefatigable, like yourself, about going, oh, we saved it, oh, no, it's under attack, we saved the relentlessness of the war on life, you know, but absolutely to encourage this, and it makes, you know, it's related to everything, right? So the For the People Act, the Voting Rights Act, you know, it's like filibuster or democracy. Mm-hmm. It's really crucial that there be federal guidelines of our democracy for voting, because there is so much, so much on the line. But
that is absolutely crucial, and I just want to like reaffirm that. You know, it's democracy itself is under threat with the laws that the Republicans are trying to pass and have passed, you know, laws that would allow a Republican legislature in a state basically to undo an election if a Democrat won and put their guy in place and make claims of fraud that they don't have to have any evidence for. This is one of those vital all-hands-on-deck moments where we've got to be activated about that. And it's also such an issue of equity. You know, if we are concerned with ending racism, with ending discrimination, these are laws that are really targeted at Black people, at Indigenous people, at people of color. To restrict their rights and their access to the ballot. And we've got to make clear that, again, these are issues of justice, they are issues of fundamental democracy, and they are issues that affect all of us.
Right. And being a voice for all these things, that, you know, everything is all stories lead us to all stories. The incredibly poignant Belarusian TV, you know, what was dignified as an interview with a journalist who was kidnapped off of the Irish Airlines flight, and it's him weeping on TV, going, I don't want to be involved in politics. I'm changing my life. I renounce everything. I just want to be peaceful. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible, poignant thing.
God.
He's clearly in agony. We go, so we who can still speak, right, who have not been tortured by Belarusian police and forced into it, because there's so much resonant, right? It's the Tiananmen Square humming thing. It's Tulsa, right? Incredibly potent documentary, Tulsa Burning, on the History Channel. And the History Channel's kind of stepping up. It used to be just the Hitler Channel, right? That's all they did, World War II Hitler. But this was a great documentary. Every single American citizen should see it. You know, we are remembering the dead and the disenfranchised and the horror of that. It's part of the war on life, right? It's people from the South seeking to move away from the oppression after the Civil War and the failure of Reconstruction. They go, Oklahoma, we will follow the Trail of Tears to the Indian Territories, you know, where they established this just inspirationally blooming 40 square blocks of vibrancy and movie theaters and beautiful houses and convivialness and community, actual community, right? And you'll see that, and it was just destroyed with machine guns and bombs from planes, and they laid waste. It's like Palestine. It's everywhere, right? But it's like, and this comes back to voting rights. You know, afterwards, then, you know, the whites move in to absorb the land, and they make it through legislation. They do another another massacre, they make it impossible for those who own the land to rebuild, right? And it's like, oh, it's so important that we, you know, but so the attack on community, and then what you're saying is, you know, the beauty of community, the grandmothers, the people gathering. I think Code Pink has also announced, yeah, the June 5th through 8th, Code Pink, and June 27th mm-hmm. through 30th. Stopping line 3. It's the same thing. So you mentioned this weekend, June 5th through 8th is what, and what is June 27th through 30th?
June 5th through 7th is the big treaty gathering where they're calling to bring thousands of people up to the northwest, the north midwest, northern Minnesota, to join the camps and to stop line 3. And I wish I could go back for that, but I am glad we were able to go. I feel like we were effective at kind of being there and helped to build a little energy for it. But if people can go, that would be great. And if you can't go, just staying aware of it, again, writing Biden, contacting your representatives, putting pressure on the people who have power to step up and move us into, you know, it's time to move away from fossil fuels on every level. And we all know that. And we all know that it's possible. And there's, you know, more and more renewables coming online all the time. We're actually at a moment that's tremendously hopeful in terms of our capacity to do something about climate change. And but what's standing in the way is people clinging to the old system and profits they make from it, unwilling to let go of that, determined to wring the last drop of tree oil out of the planet while they still can. And it is time to stop it. It's kind of
the wounded animal strikes
hard, right?
Oh, wait, sorry, say that again.
Oh, it's kind of like the wounded animal that like spikes so hard because it's cornered. You know, I think the oil industry knows that it's on its way out. It's got to change, and it's fighting it tooth and nail. When really it would be so much easier if it would just go gracefully, make a transition, and part of the solution of taking us
And we weave all teammates together, and so there's indefatigable, like yourself, Diane Wilson, mm-hmm. Calling for Biden to ban all oil exports, which is what's threatening Lavaca Bay in Texas, to dredge mm-hmm. this place that's just coming back from death into vitality. Again, the war on life is so strong. And it's like, as Diane regales us, you know, the community starts to come up, and fisher people are, you know, forming unions and cooperating, and it's like, no, and it's like, okay. Okay, neck and neck, beauty and cruelty. But so everything, from my KPFA email, some worthy people sent me this and said, please tout this. You know, it's called BorgenProject.org. That's enough to remember, but /Action Center. And they're just making it easier about all these things to email Congress. And they say, you know, it really is important. I mean, Congress does, they count all those things. So our team is, you know, who brought what is making it, you know, easier to email Congress to pass this, you know, to the voting rights, mm-hmm. You know, Global Health Security Act and support for Every Mother and Child Act. And I mean, it goes on and on, right? Mm-hmm. So you can go to BorgenProject.org and, you know, put in an email Congress easily, right? We just want to grease these communicative voices of sane reverence, you know, out there into the world. So, well, yes, and then just to go back to so much of what you said, which was great, and you said that you talked to the local sheriff, right? And how did the local sheriff in Aiken?
We didn't actually talk to him. We stood outside the sheriff's office, and we produced a flyer which called on him to stop arresting water protectors and stop harassing him. I don't think he took it too well because he went and talked to the local paper and claimed that we'd been asked to leave and refused to leave when the truth is we never saw a policeman the entire time we were in Aiken. Our part of our purpose was just to really show the town that there is support for stopping the pipeline. You know, it's a town that's very divided. Everyone we talked to there seemed to think it was about 50-50 for or against. But trying to remind people, you know, everybody in that part of Minnesota likes to fish. It's a big part of life up there. And this threatens the fishing industry. It threatens the tourist industry. You know, it threatens all the things that the economy there depends on. And, you know, even if you're, even if threatening life and health isn't enough for you, like it threatens money. you know, there's right. a lot of reasons to be against it.
Yes, and just again these simple things that we want to bring up into public discourse that we know, you know, limits. There's a finite amount of water on this planet. That's it. That's it. From Cleopatra's bathwater to the taken out of the life cycle with oil spills and fracking. It's like that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's crucial.
In permaculture, we teach people how to clean water, how to deal with your gray water or even your sewage water and bring it back to life and health. You know, there are ways we can deal with toxins, but they're difficult and they're expensive and they don't restore the damage to the ecology that an oil spill does in a way. You know, it takes a long time to bring that back to that same kind of life and health. So it's so much better not to wreck it in the first place.
Oh. Right. Well, yeah, no, the remediation to which you're dedicated and many wonderful, ingenious people, that's really crucial. And then there are some things that when they're gone, they're gone. The rainforest and the thing. And it's like, so it is this ardent, so here we are, you know, approaching the solstice, right? The time of Big Mama, of Yamaya, of the ocean, of water, you know, kind of rising up. You have been so dedicated, but I like honoring the solstice just as saying it's the earliest everywhere really pretty much in the world for 25,000 years or so form of ritual magic. O literal and symbolic light of sun, come on in and illuminate what is normally hidden. Come on in and illuminate this painting or this writing at the back of the cave or Newgrange. This is the story our community wants to animate. This is our guiding story, right? So here we are, right? Here's the guiding story, and it's magnetizing, and, you know, who wants to be part of this, and full of information, and did you know there's only so much water? Because that's the thing that I often say about when I went to CPAC, and, you know, right when Guy says, no regulations, no limiting, no EPA, because I want to play the games that I want to play. You know, and I said, well, Saturn, I said, the essence of games is rules. You know, and he's like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. And I said, the essence of games is rules, and we're in a game. You know, there's only so much water. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that. I better rethink myself. And I go, yes, go do that. Simple things being brought up, and then it behooves us to inhale our authority and our dedication, lest we leave it by default to the Dementors, who are just so psychotically out there, and we go, I know chapters of my life studying cults from having been in cults, you know. You can't really talk somebody out of a cult or a spell, but I think that's where, you know, one can do the backstage work of going dissolving, you know, whatever is imprisoning, a considerable proportion of our fellow citizens may be dissolved and they wake up bathed in a kind of innocence, like, what was I thinking? I mean, I think that's part of the backstage work. Does that resonate with yourself?
Oh, yeah. You know, there was something I wrote, I think it was in the Fifth Sacred Thing, where Lily, who's talking about how they're going to resist invasions, you know, consciousness, it's the most stubborn stuff in the universe, and yet it can change in an instant. You know, a smell can change it, a song, a thought. And I've always felt, as far as political action, you know, we have to understand that we're always fighting on the terrain of consciousness. You know, we have to do all the real life practical things, but what we really are having to do is shift the consciousness that supports the bad stuff happening. And to do that, we have to have a vision. We can't just get caught up in how bad everything is, you know, because it'll wear us out and it'll kill us. And I really felt that from some of the young activists I met up there. You know, so many young people today are just traumatized because they know that they are the ones that are going to inherit this future. And we, I think, need to be responsible for offering them a vision as well as, you know, the critique of what is.
Yes.
And the hope.
No, we're definitely going to come right. We're going to take a very short, usual Taj Mahal, Ishmael Reed music break, as we've done for 25 years because it's so good, but very short break. And we will, this is the Visionary Activist Show. Our wonderful guest debriefing us is Starhawk, and we'll be right back on Gathering Our Vision. Here we go.
She shook the constellation that dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them crossed his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Off and down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Grab my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. And we are not in Fun Drive, but we do want to thank everyone who pledged to keep this voice and this gathering place alive. Thank you so much. So we're back with our wonderful ally, long-term, indefatigable, inspiringly dedicated ally, Starhawk. And we're just beginning to go for critique and vision, which is something we're absolutely in accord. You know, critique without vision is complicitous with dominance. I like to say when I want to get into trouble, and it's the magic mirror. Here's which we want, right? We want the critique. Here's how it is. It's terrible. It, you know, it sucks in detail. And then our trickster selves wave our paws or our hands and turn the mirror into a window. But look how vision. Here we go. Look how beautiful it could be. And then with another wave of the paw, turn it into a door. This is where we're going. Yeah. So I think that's so.
Yeah.
And I just, know, we bring in all of our ancestors. Sorry. Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, my dear, after you.
No. Yeah. We could go on for half an hour like that. But I was saying, I think it's really important people know around climate change, like, it's not hopeless. In fact, it's quite hopeful. And just as much as we know the situation becomes more crucial every time we get more information, also the solutions become more in place. The solar energy becomes more available. The technology improves, and our understanding that the way that we use and treat the land can have a big impact in drawing carbon out of the atmosphere, sequestering it, using it to build healthy soil, where it does good and replenishes the losses from erosion over, you know, the last 1,500 years of chemical agriculture, but the last 5,000 years of tilling the soil and exposing it and opening it up to the air. All of that. It's a tremendous time to be alive and to be part of the work of regeneration. And I think we, again, we need to make sure young people understand that. Again, it's not hopeless and we're not doomed, but it does require work and it does require skill and knowledge. And it does require stamina because political change is slow. It doesn't happen quickly or instantly. We don't very often get immediate gratification and rewards for your action. But it's crucial that we keep on with it. And again, it's more powerful if we know what we want as well as what we don't want.
Right. Yeah, there's so much, right? Stamina, again, which is a wonderful word because it comes from stamen, not the plant stamen. It comes from stamen, which is the thread that the fates weave for us as our life, the length of our life. But stamina implies we can thicken it and lengthen it. We don't have to accept what we've been dealt, and that's what stamina means, which is great. And what you're saying, right, that so many biomimicry and regenerative agriculture and all that you're dedicated to, you know, the elegant pattern of solutions really does transcend the polarity of politics, because if people really see it, they go, oh, that is so beautiful. We love patterns. Mm-hmm. We love patterns. And then just back to Neptune and vision and play. You know, and play, stamina and play, it's great, great buddy, Vine Deloria, wonderful, wonderful human ancestor now, all calling all great ancestors. And the last time I saw him, he was being honored at the Library of Congress, and Bob Goff, who brought me there, said, these are all the great Native American leaders, all the AIM leaders, you know. And he said only Vine being here is preventing them from fist fights breaking out. But Vine said, you know, today I meet many, many activists who are very, very serious about themselves. And he said, we were serious about the issues, but always playful among ourselves. That's what works, like wolves. We go, right.
If I were to say anything to people involved in the movement now, it's that we have to create movements that people actually want to be part of, you know, that are welcoming people and that make you feel like, oh, I've come home. Here are people, here are amazing people who care about the world like I do and want to support me in that quest. And, you know, the right Wayne kind of weaponizes these concepts of call-out culture and stuff and takes them to try to dismiss everything that we're calling for. But we have to, there is sometimes a little grain of truth in the way that on the left and in progressive circles, again, we easily focus on what's wrong. And that includes with our fellow activists, the mistakes, the wrong thing they said, rather than supporting what's right.
Right.
And there's
a
theory in dog training. Yeah, I know you want that, but that you train your dogs not by giving them lots of negativity and saying, no, but by giving them praise. Not when they complete an exercise, but when they make any move in the direction, you know, they sit and they wiggle their haunches and you praise them for that and you shape their behavior toward where you want them to go rather than stopping them from doing what you don't want them to do.
I love that in dog training. You break the fixation. You go, hey, I like Cesar Millan. You know, I know people are grumpy, but I like, because he goes, no creature likes the word no. You go, hey, and then you liberate the attention. Then you go, over here, who's a good politician? Yes, you are. This is where we're going. We're going over here. We're assuming cultural narrative lead, so not just reacting, but going, hey, you know, liberate from the fixation, liberate from the trance, going, hey, over here, and here's a treat, You know, here's a, here, there you go. Right, and then I always think of, you know, because our team can get, you know, we do want to tease democracy into our whole manner of relating, and I like Alison Lurie's dark quip in which she says, the reason academic politics is so vicious is because the stakes are so small. Right, and it's like, right, exactly. It's right. It's like, no, expand. You know, this petty colonial, really. So right, and then back to it's why your magical activism training, and I mean, so much is so important to wed these things that live in us that make the whole thing work. You know, that quality,
yeah, and then I do teach a magical activism training course online, and actually I have one coming up a week from today on the 10th. We have another session, and people can join anytime. It's by donation. We're going to be looking at this time, looking at the other worlds and the fae and the fairies and all of those myths and legends and stories and what they teach us about the underlying intelligences of nature, and also what they can teach us in a time when kind of good old, like, you know, bread and butter reality itself seems to need a little shoring up and reinforcement. How do we actually know, you know, when we're willing to open up to the potential of more than quantifiable reality, how do we discern, like, what to believe and what not to believe? How do we navigate that in a way that is skillful, and maybe use some of that to shift some of that underlying consciousness around political?
Right. No, cooperators are standing by, right? And I did squidge from your website, going your magical activism course that you were just describing, you know, your course, our dedication, and you said, yeah, and I love the Saturn structure. You can jump in any time, right? And pay by donation. That's lovely. And you say, we will hone the magical skills to define, discern, and envision. There we go. What is needed and what we desire for ourselves and the world. We must do the work of healing, of facing grief and loss, and honoring grief and loss, and understanding and undoing the patterns of abuse, yes, and finding allies that support our strength and resilience. And then you say, these sessions will focus on three themes: vision, healing, strategy. Yes, vision, healing, strategy, vision. So I do love that. And I just want to bring up again sourdough starter, but I keep it in my pocket all the time. You know, when Francis Collins, head of NIH, was giving an evening honoring music and healing, and he had an opera singer in an MRI so we could see her brain. And so he asks her to sing an aria, and she does, and her brain lights up, you know, three parts of the brain, very beautiful. But then he says, now don't sing, just imagine singing, and the entire brain lights up, like brighter than anything, like,
wow.
Imagining is completely real. It's like, right.
Yeah.
We can see it on an MRI, you know, but otherwise we go, oh, that's just imagination. It's like, no, your entire brain is engaged with imagining. It's made of molecules as much as this table, right? So, you know, it is sane, reverent common sense, and all the skills that we have to engage, you know, as ways of cooperating. And I do know, this is something I also learned from the Dog Whisperer, which that dogs see what were the images in our mind, which is why, you know, when I had the fairly aggressive wolf and coyote dog, wonderful, wonderful, but they wanted to kill all dogs and maybe humans when they met them. So I would see that and pull them away. And so he said, you know, avoid nothing. Avoid nothing. Set your energy course, poof, and go right through. And it worked. It worked. I mean, the dogs were like, okay. Because when we see, like, oh, no, the dogs are going to lunge at somebody, or, oh, no, that politician's going to do that horrible thing, they see that, and they go, oh, well, that's what we'll do then. It's like, no, set the energy thing. This is where we're going. Yeah, you're going to like this. Here we go. Just poof. It's our Saturn focus, which is really increasingly available now. It's like Backstage is really trying to help us out. So, yes. And I loved, you know, we've posted on CoyoteNetworkNews.com and I think also on KPFA's website as well for under the radio, you know, the press release from the 1,000 grandmothers that you sent me 2 weeks ago. And it's and also many ways to engage with them and also the world. But I love also one of the grandmothers saying, you know how people say that a mother has the strength to lift a car up and save a baby. A Bay Area organizational consultant, Dr. Nancy Feinstein, founding member of 1,000 Grandmothers. That is how we felt about the climate crisis. We will stop the fossil fuel industry because it's stealing our grandchildren's futures, right?
Yeah.
That's sort of the critique. And we will create a future which is blooming and ingenious and enough. You know, again, that's we want to get that part going, right? Exactly. But yes, the lifting the car off the baby, we can do that. We can do impossible things. And that is... it was...
When we were in Minneapolis after our demonstration, some of us went over to George Floyd Square, which was tremendous. I mean, I was so moved there. It's this incredible, it's not just a single monument. It was like streets blocked off and art and billboards and posters and a gas station that was abandoned with a slogan on it saying like, all power to the people. And there was, we had done a ritual the night before for George Floyd, and I had said, you know, because he died calling for his mother, that activates the power of the mother. And there was actually a big billboard up there with beautiful art that said, when George Floyd cried out, he said, all mothers were summoned when George Floyd cried out for his mama. And I really feel that's true this time, that whether you're a biological mother or not, if you are someone who takes responsibility for nurturing and caring for the next generation, that we are summoned right now to use that incredible power of life that nature has and that we have, regardless of your gender, your biology, whatever, that we have in the service of protecting the young and protecting life that comes after that. And that these issues of stopping the pipeline, of voting rights, of ending police violence against Black people, they're not really separate issues. They are all linked in transforming a system that destroys people, that works through power over, that devalues our lives and nature and all the things that sustain our lives, and developing a culture that really, truly is life-affirming.
Right, and Big Mama.
And we have the capacity to do that.
Yes. Yes, I love that graffiti, which has been turned into art that you reference. Yeah. It came out last year, right before the summer solstice, right, which is the time of Big Mama, you know, when George Floyd called out for his mother, all the mothers were summoned, and we go, here we are again, all the mothers. You know, you know, this country, right, too much and never enough, the negative Cancerian gorge theory, eat, destroy everything. But then there's the real thing, which is all life deserves safety. And I've been so deeply engaged with the memorial for Tulsa and going, you know, and that it's resonant now. It's resonant now, and to feel the lack of safety for our Black allies is long, ancient, now ongoing, outrageous, and it's like, oh, safety, mothering, embrace, security, that people can be safe enough to cultivate their wild, trickster, ingenious coyote. I mean, Renaissance requires that people be safe, or yearns for people to be safe enough to do that. Yeah, so the George Floyd Police Reform Act, yes. The For the People Voting Act, yes. These are crucial. These are crucial things. You know, again, filibuster or democracy, take your pick, right? And it's like, this is so crucial now. And, you know, when you went away for a moment at the beginning, I said, you know, it's a tipping point for democracy and the planet, you know, and everything that everyone does, thinks, feels, says, it matters enormously. And I love Terry Pratchett saying magic is easy. You just find the tipping point and blow.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, calling congresspeople, being on the lines, going to Minnesota, but everywhere. And I just wanted to bring up also just, we are not, you know, strengthening by resisting. Ursula Le Guin says we strengthen whatever we oppose, right? But I like from myth, remember when Hercules was destroying the world, the gods sentenced him to the underworld to learn knitting, spinning, and weaving, right? We go, let's sentence, to reweave the fabric of life that they had sundered. So I think let's sentence the mob mind to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving, you know? Derek Chauvin, there you go. Learn knitting and weaving for 20 years. No Wi-Fi. There you go. And then, you know, I just wanted to read this little short piece from Walt Whitman, because Walt Whitman was born on the day, different year, but of the Tulsa Massacre, right? And so he says, weave. Weave lasting sure. Weave day and night, the weft, the warp. Incessant weave. Tire not. We know not what the use, O life, nor know the aim, the end, nor really ought we know, but know the work. The need goes on and shall go on. The death-enveloped march of peace as well as war goes on. For great campaigns of peace, the same, the wiry threads to weave. We know not why or what, yet weave, forever weave, right? So I think that's, you know, part of what you have been spiraling forth for a long time. You know, weave, everybody, you know, all the different metaphors. Weave the fabric of embrace and support and kinship and community. Because I've been thinking about the war on life and the war on community, and you know, there's a million examples. Every dedicated listener has those. But I remember in Cape Town, South Africa, there was a District 6. It was a prosperous, even under apartheid, and it was blacks and whites and Asians and, I mean, people from all over in happy community, you know, like Tulsa, thriving. And the South African government was like, no, we want that land. And they bulldozed it. And it's still alive. It's still alive. In every cab driver was like District 6. And one cab driver said, you know, but they could never build on it. They raised it to the ground, but they could never build on it because they were haunted by the ghosts of happy community and the smells of spices commingling and the echo of children laughing in a tolerant, embracing community. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, this relentlessness, and we go, whatever that is, mob mind and relentless war on life, into the underworld to learn knitting and weaving. I think that's a good image to envision. I think it works.
I'm lucky to have had a pretty long life. I'm actually going to be 70 in 2 weeks from today.
Hey, I know, there you are. Yes. You wonderful June 17th.
Yeah. And actually, we're going to have a virtual online birthday party. It's also the 20th anniversary of our Earth Activist Training. So we're going to take people on a virtual magical mystery tour of projects that the students have done and sites where they're working, and end with a kind of pre-solstice ritual. So we're going to open registration for that, I think, tomorrow. But people can find out about it on my website, which is StarHawk.org, or on EarthActivistTraining.org. And it'll be a fundraiser for our diversity scholarship program and our overall organizational support. But, you know, I find it a little staggering that I'm that old. I don't feel that old. I guess people always say that. I don't feel that old inside, but my body.
No. 70, it's not even a quintile. I don't. That's right. We don't even quite hit stride till we're in our early 70s. Going, there we go, getting the point of this now. But you know, and I did also catch from your website what you just referenced. You're incredibly well, because you really, you know, your whole life as a anti-authoritarian, and then you know, from that, right? It's part of right now. Like, for every tyrannical horror, you know, may it serve as an incentive for us to experiment to create greater beauty and greater community. And so I did also, you know, put out, and I'm posting many places, your regenerative land management 2-year advanced permaculture diploma, March 31st, 2021 to March 31st, 2023, creating a meaningful livelihood, restoring land and revitalizing community. It's so impressive, Star. It, you know, the confidence needed to run a farm, ranch, retreat center, or urban farm in ways that heal damaged ecosystems. That just, you're just so organized. and dedicated. So
it appears that way to somebody.
It's a compelling illusion. It's real, or it was an illusion that's descended into an absolute thing. So I think that's a great idea to have your birthday, your solar return, your party with a purpose. Going, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but, well, I only wish you were out on this coast and you could come by and have some actual cake, but...
Yes, in the fullness of time, I may make it back to my second home, Northern California, in November. We'll see. I'm not in a rush to unfurl. It's like very slowly, you know, the world's on fire. Right, I mean, you know, India, Peru, right, and there's our indefatigable ally, friend of show, Medea Benjamin, on her way to Peru because the elections are Sunday, and so she's flying with a complete shield mask because Peru is the highest infection rate on the planet right now. It's just boiling, and then there's Brazil and India and Mexico is coming right along. I mean, well, remember, in this, I want to toss it back to you in the last minutes, because, you know, Dion Fortune said, the war will end when the conditions that gave rise to it are resolved. The pandemic will end when the conditions that gave rise to it are resolved. And the conditions are rogue species, you know, coming back into collaborative harmony with the rest of our kin. That's the condition that will end the pandemic, right? Respecting boundaries.
I mean, I think we have to respect the boundaries of nature. We have to understand that when we work with nature, nature actually will work with us. But but we have to be proactive about that, and that means learning about nature. That's why, for me, it's such a joy. Like, I love to do rituals and do magic and understand the mythology and the archaeology and all of that. But I also really love soil biology and the science and the understanding of what's going on in the natural world, and just having a practice that involves spending some time, just taking some time each day to just shut up, open my eyes, watch, look, listen, hear what nature is telling me. And I recommend that to everybody, especially if you're feeling burned out or you're feeling despair, you're feeling hopelessness, or you're worn out by the news. It's just take a few moments outside, even if nature is looking at what's growing up in the cracks in the asphalt. But if you open your eyes and ears, you'll find something that will speak to you, that will teach you, that will help to heal you. And we all deserve that, and we need that to keep us going. And when we have that, you know, that is the power of mothers that has been summoned. And when we channel that power, we allow that power to mother us as well as turn it to mother others, we can create a much more nurturing, much more diverse, much more just and beautiful world.
There we go. That's beautiful, Starhawk. Starhawk.org is wonderful, and the cicadas in the East Coast are the voice of the ancestors chirping to everybody. And thanks so much to Kirsten Thomas, who is most skookum board up. And you can support show at Patreon, Visionary Activist Show, and CoyoteNetworkNews.com. And remember, always better to be a trickster than a martyr. There we go. And thank you again, Starhawk. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. And we are out of here, and we will reconvene next week. Woof, woof, woof. Thanks, team.
Okay.